Okay. Tov, okay, Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh. Again, before we start, again, a shout out to everybody supporting the shiur on Patreon.com. Very, very much appreciated. Parshas Re'eh begins a shift in Sefer Dvarim towards more halachos, some repeated, some new. There's still, as you'll see, quite a lot of Moshe speaking and trying to inspire, etc. But there is a shift, which we'll find in the next Parshios next week. Shoftim, Kisetze has the most mitzvos in the Chumash, Kisovo as well. So it definitely is a bit of a shift. Moshe's been kind of like referencing the history of Bnei Yisrael for the last three Parshios. Now he kind of starts lining up some other word lists. So let's just run through the Parsha quickly, and then we'll talk about a couple of things. First thing Moshe says is he lines up a blessing and a curse for Am Yisrael. Right? He says, Re'eh Anochi Nosem Lefnichem Hayom Bracha Uklala. He said, check it out. I'm giving you a bracha, a blessing, and a klala, and a curse. Right? The bracha, if you listen to the mitzvos, and the curse, if you don't listen to the mitzvos, as you might expect. So that's the first thing. He says they should re-explore these curses on Har Gerizim and Har Eval. That's what Yehoshua did, certainly, once they got into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe continues with the commandment to destroy all the Avodah Zarahs when they get into Eretz Yisrael. He explains that they shouldn't have like individual Mizbeachs all over the place. Rather, they should establish a central place to bring the Korbanos, i.e. the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. He points out you should only eat certain korbanos in Yerushalayim. He said, on the flip side, it is mutter to eat meat outside of Yerushalayim. If it's not a korban, you're allowed to just shecht, you know, and eat whatever you want. Another reminder not to copy all the rituals and the avodah zarah of the seven nations in Eretz Canaan. Don't listen to a false prophet. Along the same lines, he says you shouldn't listen to a masis, which is someone who is trying to seduce other people to worship avodah zarah. And then he continues along the same lines and says that if an entire city called an ir niyadachas, really a majority of that city, is worshiping avodah zarah, the halachos are that they have to be destroyed and all the property has to be destroyed as well. There's a review of the halachos of kashrus, and then he gets into the halachos of meiser. A little bit of Shemitah. He talks about Shemitah, which is obviously shaykh nowadays with forgiving of loans, cancellation of loans at the end of Shemitah, which is coming up in a month. And then he finishes off with the obligation to give tzedakah, to be kind to people who are down, people who are poor. He goes over the halachos of a Jewish slave, talks about the firstborn cattle, sheep given to Kadosh Baruch Hu, given to the Kohen, and finally finishes off with the reminder of an Aliyah L'Regel, lists off of the holidays, the Umtif. You know, that's why this is a lot of the Kriyas Torah we have on the Chagim is from the end of Parshas Re'eh, right? The obligations come to Yerushalayim with our korbanos, etc. So a lot going on in the Parsha. Obviously, we're not going to hit all of it, especially since really we could spend the next, you know, half an hour talking about just the first pasuk. The first pasuk has a ton of Musar type and inspirational Torah written about it. We're going to focus on, you know, one or two or three aspects of it, and then we'll kind of see if there's time for. We definitely will have time, but we'll talk about a couple other things. So the first pasuk, just to recap. Re'eh anochi nosem lefnecha mayom bracha uklala. Re'eh, check it out. See, look. And you could spend the time about why Moshe uses the language of seeing as opposed to hearing. Right? Sometimes we have Shema Yisrael, sometimes we have Re'eh, see. Okay, whatever, we're not going to mention that right now, just if you're curious about looking into other things. Re'eh anochi nosem lefnecha mayom bracha uklala. Check it out. I'm giving you in front of you, I'm placing this in front of you today, a blessing and a curse. Es ha-bracha, what's the bracha? Asher tishmu al mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem, asher anochi mitzaveh eschem hayom. The bracha is, if when you listen to the mitzvot of Hashem, that I'm commanding you today. V'haklala, the curse, im lo tishmu al mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem, if you don't listen to the mitzvot, v'sartem min ha-derech, and you stray from the path, asher anochi mitzaveh eschem hayom, which I am commanding you today, l'alechas acharei Elohim acharim asher lo yidatem, to go after false gods. So, one thing that the Nesivos Shalom points out, and others have noticed, obviously, as well. It says, strange emphasis on hayom, on today. Moshe says, check it out, I'm giving you a bracha and a klala today. The bracha is that if you listen to the mitzvahs that I'm commanding you today. And the curse is if you don't listen to the mitzvahs that I'm commanding you today. And what's going on with this emphasis on hayom? It says it three times in the first three psukim. So, Nesivos Shalom explains. They asked the Rebbe of Kavrin, right, what the most important halacha is for a person to fulfill. Tells a story, you see the Shalom, Shlomo Rebbe explains, tells a story, they asked him once, right? They asked the Rebbe of Kavrin, what should I focus on? If I have one mitzvah, what should I do? So So they expected him to say Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha, all that type of stuff. You know what he said? Whatever halacha you're faced with right now. Today, Hayom, that's the most important halacha. Right? That Shabbos, that's in 2 days from now. Right? Kashrus, we're not eating right now. Right? But right now, whatever you're up to, right? Not like right now in the middle of the shir, but right now, maybe your parents asked for something, or you're studying right now, or you're listening to a shir, whatever it is, someone asked you for a favor, that's the most important halacha. And that is the secret to Moshe's schmooze at the beginning of this week's parsha. You know what's the key to everything? You know what's the curse and the blessing in life? To be focused on the here and now. Right? The bracha and klal in your life is to be present. Right? Not to be thinking about what's coming in a week from now, not to be stressing about what happened 2 years ago, focusing on the task at hand and going from task to task and thereby accomplishing. Right? You know how many people are paralyzed because they're too nervous about what will be and what won't be and what was and what could have been. Right? There's only one thing in this world that you can control, and that's what's right in front of you right now. Right? What's coming tomorrow, nobody knows. And if you have an opportunity to do chesed, to do a mitzvah, to learn some Torah right now, so take advantage and be present. Don't be worrying about other things. Don't be checking your phone. Right? Don't. How many people spend their lives, right? Nowadays, it's crazy. Someone showed me a picture the other day. I don't like golf so much. I used to love playing golf, but I don't follow golf. Someone sent me a picture, two side-by-side pictures of, I forget, some golfer, whatever it was, and maybe Tiger Woods. And the picture, nowadays, every single person, it was right before he was going to hit a shot. So every single person had their phone out, and they were videoing. Versus the picture, let's say, I don't know, 10 years ago, and nobody had their phone out. Right? You know how many people spend their lives videoing the present on their phones, taking videos that they will never watch? Right? Be present. Be focused on Hayom, on what's happening right now, and let it affect you. Right? And again, this is not even a Jewish concept. Right? If you pay attention to all like the inspiring LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok stuff, right? That's all over the place. All these inspirational speakers are talking about focusing on the present. Right? Just because I'm a sports guy. So Russell Wilson is a quarterback. He plays in Denver now, whatever. He was playing on the Seahawks. So he gave a TED Talk just before Corona about what he called neutral thinking, which allowed him to focus, or something he had studied and something he had worked on, which allowed him to focus on in pressure situations, right, by staying focused in the present and not worrying about what happened yesterday or what might happen in the next play, focusing on what's going on right now. Says the Nesi L'Shalom, that's Moshe's message. The blessing I'm going to give you is that what you can accomplish in life can only be accomplished right now. And the curse is, if you don't focus on right now, right, then you'll be paralyzed for life. Right? You're worried about what will happen in the future, etc. So, again, just any project that's worth anything, right? Any long-term project, right? Anything you can think of, right, is filled with a million little steps. And if those little steps don't get done because you're too busy worrying about the later steps, you never get to the later steps, right? Novelists don't write novels in a day. They spend hundreds of one-hour writing slots creating a story. Movies aren't shot in a day. Every single shot takes hours, right? If you're going to worry about post-production while you're filming the first scene of a movie, you'll never get there. Right now, yeah, now obviously, of course, chacham enough barosho, you can't be blind to what might come. I'm not saying you should, you know, eat tons of chocolate and soda the day before a marathon and because you're focusing on the here and now, and this is what will make me feel good now, and who cares about tomorrow? No, obviously, that's not what we're saying. Obviously, a person should think ahead, plan ahead, but that's it. You should only think. Right? Don't stress, don't worry about what you can't control right now. Stay focused on what you're doing at the moment, because that's what you accomplish. Right, you don't become a tzaddik or a tzaddikas in a day. Right, you don't learn shas in an hour. You don't become a doctor and a lawyer in a day. Right, it's thousands of 1 minute slots. Right, if you never focus, let's just take studying. You guys are just starting college. If you never focus on what you're studying at the moment, right, you'll never get to where you know all the stuff for the test. You have to focus on what you're doing. You can't be distracted by other things. So that's the bracha and the klal that Moshe is telling Am Yisrael. That's what the Torah is focusing on when it says the word Hayom three times. Says in the Sivah Shalom. Sivah Shalom says further, another pshat in Hayom. What's the pshat of Hayom? He says very often, the Yitzhahara will do is that, you guys have experienced this, I'm sure, when you get a burst of inspiration, right? So what is the first thing Yitzhahara does? He doesn't start being like, oh, that's stupid, don't do that. Because you're inspired, you're feeling it. Right, you're ready to roll. So he doesn't do that. What does he do? The first thing he does is, don't do it right now. Great, amazing. You're so inspiring. You're so firm. Just do it later. Right? Yitzhahara doesn't tell you not to do it. He just tells you to do it later. And then all of a sudden, this comes up and that comes up, and all of a sudden, maybe it doesn't happen. It says Moshe, no, do it hayom. Right? The bracha is to do it today. If you have a mitzvah, you have inspiration, do it right now, do not delay. And right? Again, I've mentioned this story before, that maybe a year ago, one of the people that on the block, Rachman Salam, lost his father, and I just pushed off paying a shiva call until it was too late. I literally missed it. I lived on the block. I literally could have walked down three buildings and done the mitzvah, but I had this and I had that, and okay, and all of a sudden it was, you know, Tuesday morning and he was getting up and I missed it. When you feel an inspiration to do something, don't delay. Right, as Nesilah Shalom says, right, ki koch hakedusha holich v'nechlash, right, ad shenis mizbata lagamre, right, the koch hakedusha, the strength of the holiness, the koch of holiness, right, gets weaker until it disappears completely. So the bracha is that if you do it right away, so then you'll get the bracha. The curse is that this inspiration, this koach hakedusha, dissipates, and the holiness ebbs away. So it's crucial to grab onto hayom, grab onto the moments of inspiration today, and don't put off any good deeds, any inspiration that you're presented with. Right? Again, and I don't need to quote all that. I will quote a bunch of chazals, but there are many, many statements in chazal that say like this. Right? The Michot and Shmos, mitzvah haba liyodcha altach mitzena, don't let any mitzvah become chametz, right, chametz takes 18 minutes to rise, right, don't let it become chametz, don't delay. Gemara Nazir and Daf Chav Gimel, lolam yaktim adam ledvar mitzvah, person should always get up and go do a dvar mitzvah. Psachim Daf Dalet, zrizim maktim le mitzvos, brachos Daf Vav, right, lolam yorot adam ledvar mitzvah, afilu b'shabbos, person should always run to do mitzvos. Before you think I'm a great Talmud Chacham, these are all quoted in the Perek Zion of Mesilas Yesharim, the Perek on Zrizus. As if you guys have been with us for Mesilas Yesharim, Zrizus tells us to get up and do mitzvahs and don't delay. And certainly nowadays, with all the distractions available to us, right, this mitzvah of Zrizus that we've been talking about, right, is crucial to obtain. I would argue that most people nowadays who do not accomplish spiritually as much as other people, again, let's say if you have a group of 10 friends, right, the three people in the group who do not accomplish as much spiritually as everybody else, I would argue that they're not necessarily less righteous than their friends. Right? They're not necessarily less firm as their friends. They're just slightly lazier. They're a bit more distracted by their phones or laptops or video games or their studying or whatever. So they end up, they skip this learning session, they come late for that davening, they don't go to shul this day, and all of a sudden, it's been a month and a half, 2 months, you haven't been to shul on Shabbos, and now you're embarrassed to go back because people are going to say, where have you been, etc. Yeah, you're not, it's interesting, you missed this year, you missed that year, what's the rabbi going to think? You start making excuses, right? And then all of a sudden, you're someone who hasn't gone to shul all year, right? And then you're just this type of person, you know, yeah, you know what, I don't go to shul. Right? How does that happen? It happens slowly because you just, I'm not in the mood. The Yetzer Hara doesn't get you to fall off immediately. It's a progression, right? And a person has to guard themselves all the time, right? Because if you let your guard down, right, so then even for a few days, so then it's much, much, much harder to climb out of it. And this is such a bigger musar coming at the beginning of Chodesh Elul. Elul starts on Sunday. Right, how many of us at the beginning of Elul, right, were all inspired, certainly the girls who have been back for a year, but even if you've just gone back, you'll see in YU and Toro talk about Elul, all the Shirim, right, inspiring and shul, right, Rosh Chodesh Elul, we're ready to roll, Tshuva, okay, here we go. How many of us, happens so often, turn around and all of a sudden, it's like Erev Rosh Hashanah. Like, you haven't done a single thing. Right? Or you get to like the Al-Chait on Yom Kippur without having prepped for a minute. Right, where did all that inspiration go? Like, wasn't it Rosh Chodesh Elul? Yeah, 40 days ago. Right, and if you wait and you let it slip, and all of a sudden you just, you know, you got caught up in the beginning of college, or the beginning of this, or the beginning of that, and all of a sudden you're standing at Ne'ilo without having done a single thing, right, for tshuva. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, right? At the moment of inspiration, hayom, do it today, don't waste. If you want to go to this shir, you want to go to that class, you want to do this mitzvah, give that tzedakah, don't put it off. Right, today there's a bracha and a klala. It's right here, it's right now. Right? That's what's at stake. If you push it off, there'll be a klala. If you do it today, it's a tremendous bracha. Right? You have two choices, right? And choose one way or another. Okay. I wanted to spend 1 minute talking about the klala, even though that's not the most pleasant things to talk about, but you'll see that I think at least it's a little bit inspiring. I saw in the Ish Kodesh, the Piyazetz Nareva, again, the Piyazetz Nareva was murdered in the Holocaust. He wrote the Eish Kodesh in the Warsaw Ghetto, or he gave the Shurim over, probably wrote it down, I don't remember. The different legends, they found the papers, whatever it was. Okay, Tachlis, he gave the Shurim over, or he wrote down these Divrei Torah in the Warsaw Ghetto, Mamish, in the middle of the Holocaust. So he has an unbelievable few paragraphs, just a few, right, about this first pasuk. Again, he says, behold, I'm giving you a bracha and a klala. Bracha, you listen to this, so klala if you don't. So Pizatz and the Rebbe says that we have to realize that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Everything's from Hashem. Baruch and Klala, everything. Hashem doesn't do anything without any reason or logic. For example, right? And Hashem has told us His ways, right, through the Torah. For example, we know there's something called Mida Keneged Mida. Right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays back a person according to their Midos, according to their actions, etc. As an aside, right, Rabbi Victor Miller very often is quoted as saying that he gets very frustrated when people talk about the Holocaust as if, like, we don't understand God's ways. As if God obscured Himself randomly and decided to be cruel for no reason whatsoever. Now, it's not a schmooze about the Holocaust, and maybe we'll talk about when we get to the Tochacha, I don't know, we'll see if I'm inclined to put such things on a recording. But basically, what Victor Miller points out, he says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us, He gave us the Torah, He explained to us as best as, you know, we're able to understand how He acts. Sometimes, Mida Keneged Mida, if you read the Tochacha, a lot of the Holocaust stuff is in there. So basically one of the things is, very simply, that if a person does mitzvot, he'll be blessed, and if he does averos, chas v'shalom, the opposite. Again, Moshe is very clear at the beginning of the parsha. It says it straight out. This is not, we're not trying to sugarcoat it. And it's one of the animamins, right? And I think it's number 10, 11, something like that. Animamin b'muna shleima, right, I believe, right? Shabori yisbarach shemo, kosh baruch hu gomel tov l'misha yishmo mitzvosov, it will do good for those who keep the mitzvos, v'yanish l'misha yavro mitzvosov, and will punish someone who does not keep the mitzvahs. So this is, again, this is Pasha Psha, the first psukim, right, in the Parsha. Says the Eish Kodesh, both the bracha and the klala are a tremendous simcha. Right? Not only when we receive the reward, but also when we receive the punishment. And again, think about this. He's saying this in the Warsaw Ghetto. I can't even imagine. But it says, Pirzess and the Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya writes, that at the moment of Yisurim, when people are being, not Yisurim, but Yisurim with a Yud, right? When a person is being afflicted, Rachmal Atzlan, Chas V'Shalom, at that moment when a person is suffering, a person recognizes their sins, says the Baal HaTanya, because everybody deep in their hearts truly understands their own failings. I'll give you a perfect example. 2 days ago, I went out for a run, and on my way back, I tripped over a piece of construction lying on the floor, lying on confe. I didn't see it. It was at night. It was lying down, right, just after like a step down into the street. It was like I slid into second base, except there was no dirt and there was no base. It was just rocks and I guess there was dirt, but rocks and concrete, and I was bleeding all over my arms and bruised up my knee, blood everywhere. It wasn't pretty. But immediately I realized that I had messed up a couple of things. First of all, I had been lax in wearing tzitzis. I had left my house about 20 minutes before sundown. Mitzvah of tzitzis is to wear, you gotta wear tzitzis during the day. I have running tzitzis, there's no reason for me not to wear it. Okay, so sun was going down, I just didn't put it on. Okay, that's A. B, I really should have caught up on the Daf Yomi. I was a little bit behind the Daf Yomi and I should have caught off, but I had chosen to go out and run. And third, I had chosen to listen to music instead of listening to the shir I usually listen to. The next morning, I realized one of the scrapes right where I put my tefillin on. Right? Man, I would imagine you ladies have never wrapped straps of leather around fresh, open skin. It is not fun. And I immediately remembered that I was on schedule. I'd been scheduled to check my tefillin. You should really check your tefillin either twice, really, l'chachila, twice every 7 years. And I'm scheduled to check it, and I haven't checked it yet. So when you, very clearly, a person is very able to figure out their own failings. But watch this. Says the Pizatz Nereba in the Baal HaTanya, it's so true. When a person sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person for their failings, you don't get upset when you really understand that you deserve that type of punishment. You gain an imbuna bitachon, right? You realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true dayan and the true shofet, and you get chizik. Why? Because if you got punished for this, right, you'll certainly get rewarded for all the mitzvahs that you do, right? And not only that, we see that usually we see yisurim, we see affliction, we see pain and suffering as what we call hester panim, that Hashem is hiding His face from us. Right? That's what we usually say, right? When there's pain and suffering, Hashem is hiding His face. But when you do a little bit of cheshbon nefesh, says the Pizatz and Rebbe, in the Warsaw Ghetto, you see that the opposite is true. Right? Really, Hashem is out in the open. right? He's showing himself to be, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the world sometimes with rachamim, sometimes with din. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges and we realize that we have been lax in a certain area and he gives us a punishment in that area, it increases our awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't hide him, it increases our awareness, right? A person eats treif, you deserve the canker sore. If a person gets a canker sore, like right afterwards, you're like, oh yeah, you know what? That probably wasn't as kosher as it should have been. And then you realize it. And again, you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really Amochi, Imo Anochi Bitzara. That's what Pesach and Rebbe quotes. Pasuk in Tehillim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Imo Anochi Bitzara. I am with you in your pain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. Or he is with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kivyachol suffering with us. He's not hiding at all. He's really, really out in the open. But again, imagine, I can't get over that he's saying this in the Warsaw Ghetto, right, with those pictures in my mind. But this, says the Rebbe, is a crucial understanding before you begin Rosh Chodesh El. Because in Chodesh Av, and he doesn't say this in so many words, but we kind of like to elaborate a little bit. In Chodesh Av, right, what's the purpose of having Av right before Elul? Right, I don't know, not so many people talk about this, but Chodesh Av, you see the disaster and the response of the result of sins. Right? But Israel sinned, they got kicked out of their land, and they tremendous suffering. That's the whole Chodesh Av, right? Not the whole Chodesh Av, up until Tisha B'Av, then it gets happier or whatever. But right after that, we have Chodesh Elul. Why? Because we see the Yisurim, and now we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer than ever. Right now, Chodesh Elul, you're ready for Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us. Right, HaMelech Basada, the king is in the field. That's Chodesh Elul, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to us than ever. And call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's here. So after the Yisurim, says the Pesach and Tzeirah Rebbe, you can realize the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you can also gain a tremendous chizik from hearing that. Or from understanding that and truly internalizing that. Okay. The tzedakah. We can't talk about Parshas Re'e without talking about tzedakah. There are so many psukim. Oh man, my computer is about to die. 1 second. I'm going to charge this. Hold on. I apologize. Okay, sorry about that. Didn't want it to cut off in the middle. So, tzedakah. You can't talk about Parshas Re'e without talking about tzedakah. There are tons of psukim that talk about tzedakah, not only the halachos, but also the hashkafa behind it. So many psukim. For example, Devarim Perek Tezvav Pasuk Yud. It says, Nason Titein Lo. Right, you should give tzedakah or give help to your friend. V'lo yira lava v'cha b'sit t'cha lo. Right, and you shouldn't feel bad in your heart when you give him. Because of this, Hashem will bless you in everything that you do. Now, there's an unbelievable language in the Sefer Chinuch, right? Talking about the mitzvah tzedakah. Again, just to paraphrase, I just see if I can get the language over here. It's quoted in Rav Melech's Bera Parsha. He says like this, yeah, unbelievable. He says, Al techshov, don't think. This is later. We'll quote this in a minute. I take it back. This is 1 second. Sorry, my apologies. I am in the wrong page. Very good. Okay, let's just paraphrase because it actually is a little bit longer than right. That pasuk I want that little paragraph I'm gonna quote later. Let's just paraphrase here. The Chinuch says anyone who understands the ways of the Torah, right, and even begins to understand its values, right, so it knows clearly that. Someone, that type of person knows that someone who spends their money donating to certain things, spreads their money around, giving to other people, right, will be given more. Right? A person who gives tzedakah will inherently be giving more because that's the way of the Torah. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu judges a person based on their actions, like we said before, mida keneged mida, right? He sustains them with his blessings according to how a person, how close a person is to that mida. So when a person who is kamtzanos, when a person is miserly, so that puts up an iron wall between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the bracha of Parnasa and the Shefa that Hashem is trying to rain down. The midah of giving, says the Chinuch, is an essential part of the bracha of getting, again, Hatzlacha and Shefa and Parnasa, etc. So someone who acts in this way is simply included in the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rains down. Right? We've talked about how giving creates a love between people. Right? We talked about Rav Dessler's famous for explaining that. that Ahava is the two middle letters of the word is Hav, Hey, Beis, which means to give in Aramaic, that giving leads to love, but giving also leads to more receiving, as we'll explain in a second. There is a fascinating double language all throughout the parshas of Staka. The one we just quoted here is Nason Titain. Is that Nason Titain Lo? Instead of just saying Titain Lo, Tain Lo, give him, it says Nason Titain Lo. It says it twice. What the pasuk is saying is, I'm giving to you so you can give to him, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? I'm giving you money so you can give to the poor people. Right? Don't feel bad in your heart, because that's exactly why Kadosh Baruch Hu will bless you. Right? There's a beautiful mashal of the Noam Eliezer. Not the Noam Elimelech, but the Noam Eliezer that the Melech quotes. It says, someone who's serving a big table. That's right. Say, imagine some wealthy guy has got 10 people around the table. And the host puts down a big plate of food in front of one guy. He's not giving it to the one guy. Right? He's obviously intending for the guy to distribute the food to someone else. Says Noam Eliezer, that's how we have to look at our wealth, our riches, our blessings. Right? And even better with that mashal, who in their right mind is keeping that entire plate of food? Right? There's food for 10. There are 10 pieces of food. Right? You're sitting there at the table and you start gobbling down all 10 pieces. Like, what kind of chutzpah? What does that mean? Well, that, of course, that person is not supposed to eat all of it. That's how we need to view our wealth, right? Everyone on their own level, but that's how we have to view our own wealth. And another example of the double lashon is Pasuk says, Aser to Aser is called Tevuas Sadecha. Mitzvah of Meiser, it doesn't say Aser, take Meiser. It says Aser to Aser. It says definitely take Meiser. So Gemara and Tainus Taftes, refraining from saying that it's famous because maybe not everybody has heard of it, but pretty well known Darash of the Gemara and Daf Tes and Tainus, Aser Bishvil Shetit Asher. Give Miser, give 10% in order that you will become rich. That's the double language of Aser Taser. It says the Gemara, based on the Pasuk of Malachi, a person is never allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu except for this. Right, there's a lot of mitzvos where we are promised reward. Right, honor your famously. Right, I said it again. I apologize. Honor your parents. Right, keep it of the aim. Laman yarichun yamecha, so you get a long life. Right, a person's not allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu with that. The only thing you are allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu for is this. It's based on the Pasuk of Malachi. Pasuk of Malachi says, "Heviu es kol ha-meiser el beis ha-otzar." Right, bring all your meiser. V'iteref beisiv v'chen vani na bezos. And you can test me with this. Amar Hashem Tzvakos, ki lo eftach lachem es arugos haShemayim varikosi lachem bracha abildai. Right, I'm gonna for sure open up the brachos, the wellsprings of the sky, and I'll get you bracha until you say enough. Right, we are allowed to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu based on our meiser. Rav Melech quotes of Shimon Shkop in Shari Yosher says, why is this? Why does giving tzedakah lead to wealth, and why is wealth dependent on giving meiser? It seems the opposite. It seems like you get $100 and you give 10 away, so now you are less wealthy. Right? So why does that then lead to more bracha? So Rav Shimon Shkop says in Shari Yosher in Hagdama, unbelievable. Great mashal, perfect mashal. It's like a king who puts someone in charge of a small part of his treasury. Right? If that guy takes good care of the money, right, does with it what the king wants, and manages that money well, so what happens? The guy gets promoted and he starts taking care of a bit more of the king's treasury. Right, and so forth and so on. Right, the guy is managing the king's money exactly how the king wants it, so the king's going to give him more of it. So that's the same thing with us. Right, the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us money so we can live a Jewish lifestyle, and part of that is that we should be able to distribute it to others. Right, and give tzedakah, and not necessarily hoard all our money for our own types of things. Yes, we talked about it last week. Our own hashtadlus definitely earns us that money, but that money is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bracha is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what he wants is for us to spread it around. Right? We are his shliach to take care of his parnasa and to help other people. Right? Pasuk says there in this week's parsha that unfortunately, right, there will always be poor people. Right? There will always be people to help out, and it's our job, the people who are blessed, to have enough money to spread it around, to give it out. Furthermore, the Torah says in this week's parsha, Perek Tes Vav Pasuk Yud Aleph. Right, for this thing, for giving tzedakah, Hashem will bless you. Therefore, I am commanding you about this mitzvah, leimor, to say, pasach tiftach, again in double language, open up your hand to your brother. Says Ruzhin Rebbe, that's right, Ruzhin, right? Ruzhin Rebbe, right? Like, always like doing that. From the from Reb Melech, he quotes the original Rebbe. He says, "What's lemor?" There's an extra pasuk over there. There's an extra word in that pasuk. It says, "Al kina nochim etzavcha lemor pasuk tivtak es yadcha lachicha." It says, "Therefore, I'm commanding you to say," or saying, as they transport lemor, right? Translate lemor. Open up your hand to your brother. Why didn't it just say, "I'm commanding you to open up your hand to your brother"? Why does it say, right? "Therefore, I'm commanding you to open up your hand"? I'm saying that you have to open up your hand. So says the Rishon Rebbe, someone who gives, he quotes a Gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara in Bava Basra, that Daf Tes. It says, someone who gives a penny to a poor person, he gets six brachos. But someone who is mefaiso b'dvarim, someone who makes him feel better as well, gets 11. And he says, that's what it means. Fascinating voice, that not only are we commanded to give tzedakah monetarily, but we're also commanded to give tzedakah emotionally and mentally. Right? If the poor person is embarrassed to ask for tzedakah, for example, it's our job to speak to them and make them feel better. Right? With a smile, a word of encouragement. My wife is amazing at this, if I may just say so. She every time someone comes to the door, she offers them water, iced tea. Do you want something to eat, something to drink, a snack for the kids? She's much better at that than I am. I'm kind of like handing them 5 shekel and closing the door in their face. But that's lemor. That's fulfilling this concept of lemor, to say to them, right? Not only pasuk tiftach, and we'll say in a second, right, to open up your hand. It says in two ways, with the giving of the money and through mefaiso b'dvarim, through speaking to them and being nice to them. Kliyaka writes this as well. It says this is the point of the double language throughout the entire parasha. Right? We mentioned nason titain, right? Give so that you shall give. Aser taser, right? We mentioned that. Pasuk also says kivarech yivarechecha. Hashem will bless you doubly, right? Bless twice, right? Kivarech yivarechecha. That's the same word, blessing twice, right? The reward is double. Right? We just said now pasuk tiftach, open up your hand. Right? The Kliyaker says the dual language is for both the giving and the speaking. Right? Both give them tzedakah and speak to them and say nice things. The monetary support and the emotional support, and then the bracha will be double as well. Right? The pasuk tiftach, open your hand and open your hearts. The Chinuch writes this as well, and this is the language I wanted to quote before. It's fascinating. Fascinating language of the Chinuch. He says, Ata b'ni, my son, al techshov she'inyan mitzvah tzedakah lo yerak be'ani asher ein lo lechem v'simla. Don't think that tzedakah is limited to giving a poor person who doesn't have bread and clothing. I feel like we do that a lot. I definitely do that. That I think like the mitzvah tzedakah is to give these poor people, who homeless people living on the street, right, making sure they have enough money to buy bread and like whatever it is. He says, no. Ki haTorah tivchar la'olam b'gmilas chasadim. Because the Torah chose that a person should also, right, do chesed. And the Torah commanded us to do what people need, what other Jews need, and regardless of what it is, whatever we can contribute. Klal ha'inyan, bottom line, I'm just again reading the Chinuch, shekol ha'mahanes chaveiro, anybody who benefits his friend, bein b'mamon, whether it's money, bein b'maychol, whether it's food, being b'shart shrachav, with any other type of his needs, oh, afilim b'dvarim tovim, dvarim nichumim, even through speech, through nice words, through consolation, etc., b'chlal mitzvah tzedakah hi. This is included in mitzvah, in the mitzvah tzedakah, u'scharo harmei ba'od, and his schar is tremendous. So Hashem wants us to give to all Jews, whether it be money or food or other types of needs, all the types of gifts, right? Just because poor people, again, you guys probably don't have poor people coming to your door 3, 4, 5 times a week. Right? Just because you don't have that, it doesn't mean you can't give tzedakah all the time. Tzedakah starts at home. Chesed starts at home. Right? It continues with friends and family. Right? You may know people who are very wealthy monetarily, but other types of tzedakah, right? Maybe mentally or emotionally, they may be lacking in other areas. Maybe we call that, as the Chinuch says, maybe some people call that chesed, gemilas chasadim, but okay, fine, it's the same thing, right? Give to them as much as you can, right? Again, it's not only, right, the dollar handouts that tzedakah is about, it's also about helping out your friends, right, in other ways, in other ways, with kind words, etc. Finally, one more pasuk. Again, pasuk tiftach yadcha lo, pasuk finishes off and says, de machsoro asher yechsar lo. You have to give him day enough, machsoro, what he's missing, asher yechsar lo, whatever he is missing. Kamar and Ksuvas and Daf Son of Zion, we'll get to it in the Daf Yomi, says. What does that mean? That means even if a person is wealthy And he was used to riding around with a horse and a crier, right? Again, some people had servants announcing their presence coming, right? Crying out that, hey, this guy is coming. Even if a person is used to that type of wealth, so that's what you have to support and give him. Gemara tells a story about Hillel Zaken, who took a rich man who had fallen on tough times, bought him a horse, bought him a runner, bought him a crier. A couple times he couldn't find a crier to a guy to run ahead, and couldn't find a guy to rent out, so he did it himself. Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that's usur, right? A king is not allowed to be mochel in his kavod. And Hillel Zaken was one of the nasiim. He was a nasi. He was one of the gedolim. It's usur for a rav at that of that stature to belittle himself. Right? It's not an issue of like I'm not interested in the kavod. It's because Jews need to look up and see a rav, a nasi, a king, and appreciate. It's like the office. You can't denigrate the office. So how could he have done that? How could he have run before this guy like a simple Evid? Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, there's only one thing that could have obligated this Hillel Zaken or made him do this, and that's Sakanas Nefashos, right? When Pikuach Nefesh. Right? There's an obligation, says Rav Chaim, unbelievable. It's an obligation to get in touch with your friend's feelings or your Jews, fellow Jews' feelings, that yachis the hargashosav shel hazulas, to really empathize with the other person, understand what they're going through. Hillel understood that this guy, apparently, says Rav Chaim, must be, because there'd be no other way that it'll be mutter for him to do this. Hillel Zaken understood that this guy had become so desolate, so depressed by his livelihood falling apart, that it was pikuach nefesh. So Hillel felt obligated to run before him, to get him a horse and cry out just to make sure this guy didn't get depressed, to make sure this guy kept his head up, right? Didn't feel downtrodden, etc. Where does the Torah discuss mental health? There you go. Right? There are other places, but that's an example. Mental health, and now people think mental health nowadays is all the rage. No, it's a real thing. We are commanded to relate to our fellow Jews, right? Not only for their material, monetary needs, right? Also their mental, emotional needs as well. So just before Chodesh Elul, again, you know, you guys aren't really so much in the parsha of Tzedakah and Meister. Maybe some of you started working, right? Maybe some of you guys are, you know, maybe getting some money or whatever. So, but you will be soon. It's a shem, right? Your first year, second year, third year into college, it's not so far off. You'll be pulling in a salary. Right? Again, think about, right? So that already, maybe you're not so shaykh to, but we're all definitely shaykh, right, to our friends. Mental health, emotional stability, right? Definitely take that into consideration. We all have a lot to work on. Chodesh Elul is Sunday, but I would argue that mitzvahs benenu l'chaveru are supremely important. Right? We know Chazal tell us that Yom Kippur atones for the mitzvahs benenu l'chaveru, as I'm sure you'll be starting to hear about soon, but it does not help for the mitzvahs benenu l'chaveru. What did I say? I said it wrong. No, Yom Kippur helps for benenu l'makom. What did I say? I don't remember. Anyway, Yom Kippur helps for benenu l'makom, but it doesn't help for benenu l'chaveru. So let's do as much tzedakah and ches as we can. Let's go into Elul, fulfilling the pasuk in this week's parsha. V'nasam l'cha rachamim v'rach richam chavir becha. Again, a double lashon. That when we're merciful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives mercy back to us. If we have mercy on others and we have rachamim on our fellows and we kind of can help them out, so Mitzvah Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the same for us. Amen. Ken yiratzon. Have a great, great Shabbos and happy Rosh Chodesh, which is a women's holiday as well. And we'll see you guys next week. Mitzvah Shem.